Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
The greatest crisis of our nation, and that is the survival of the traditional family.
This is a godly, wonderful, devoted, healthy, biblical family that adores you.
And I believe that people that pray and people that trust the Lord and go to church faithfully, those are the people that have the most wonderful, successful marriages. What about you?
May you leave this assembly committed to have a family in your house where the father is the loving, compassionate leader. The mother unites the family, and the children are filled with the grace and the goodness that comes from God our Father above.
Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And until you make that decision, dad, husband, mom, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord.
We're on our core value series for most of the year. We're talking about the things that we believe most ardently, most importantly, and the most convicting parts of what we believe as a church. And one of the things we believe as a church, one of the great reasons we exist, is we exist to build, for God to use us in building strong families. I know you're here this morning, whether you're a single person or you're married with kids, or perhaps you're an empty nester this morning. One thing we all have in common is we want to be a part of a strong family, don't we? We all want to be a part of a strong family. And by the way, if you're brand new to our church today, if you're new here, I want you to know you've walked into a strong family today. You've walked into a group of people who love you, who are journeying through life together, and we don't want you to be on the outside looking in. We want you to journey with us. We want us as a body of Christ to be a strong family. And so don't feel like you're in this thing alone. We want you to be a part of this church family as well. But this morning we're closing our series on what it means to be a strong family. And when I was younger, I used to believe, I was convinced that when you saw a strong family, if you saw a family who had been serving God for a long time and it seemed like everything was well, and maybe they'd been married for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years and they're, you know, everything about them was perfect, I wrongly assumed that the reason everything was perfect in their life was obviously they haven't had the problems that others' families have had. You know, if they had some quarrels between husband and wife, their family wouldn't look as great as it was. Or if their kids were perfect like me and my sister weren't, then they wouldn't be so happy like they are. Or if they had the financial struggles that I've seen others make, their families would have crashed and burned. But as I've been pastoring the last 20-something years, I've discovered, as I've been able to look into people's lives, here's what I've discovered. Some of the greatest families on earth have had some of the biggest issues on earth. It's not so much that what happens to you that determines the greatness of your family. It's how you respond to what happens to you that determines the greatness of your family, the strength of your family. I've seen really strong families that have had sickness enter one of their family members, and it, instead of destroying them like it did one family, it would strengthen them. It add resolve to them. I've seen families go through financial difficulties and things like bankruptcy and losing a home or losing their cars and losing everything that a lot of us think add security to our life. But instead of that financial difficulty ripping them apart, I've seen it glue families together. So it's not about what happens to us. It's about how we respond to what happens to us. And I've discovered there's two things in life that really will either tear a family apart or give them an opportunity to come together. The first thing is crisis. Nothing will tear a family apart about like how we respond in crisis. Except, here's the second thing. The second thing that will give an opportunity for us, for a family to fall apart instead of coming together, is not just crisis, it's success. Think about how many people you know. Think about people you see in the news that had everything going for them. In every check mark on the list, they would be judged as successful, and yet they lose it all because their success actually became a crisis. This morning, we're going to look about how can we respond to life when we find ourselves in a crisis, or perhaps even when you find yourself in a moment of success. And we're going to look at the story of Joshua this morning, because Joshua is sort of at a crossroads between getting out of his past crisis, enjoying a little bit of success, but is he going to trust God enough to trust God for what he's faced today? It was at the crossroads between crisis and success. And here's how Joshua responds to the people. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors you worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And here's the most famous part of the scripture. Most of you could quote this with me. It says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you're going to serve," right? "Whether it's the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates and the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house," what? "We're going to serve the Lord. It was the Lord himself who brought our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we've traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the lands. And we too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we pray in the next minutes of time that you'll help us by your Spirit to be people who allow you to build in us and through us strong families. Whether our family is a household of one, or whether our family is filled with young children, or whether we're empty nesters today, we know that, Lord, you can use all of us to be a part of a strong family. And to strengthen some of us today, we know you can strengthen what remains to cause what once was to be again. God, I just speak that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There's some in this room that, Lord, you're gonna bring to pass new things today, things that they'd written off and forgot about. I just speak by the Spirit today that you're bringing new life to dead things today. Lord, you're going to use us to build strong families, to rebuild families that will be strong. Well, help us to do that today and speak to us by your Spirit how we can do that. So, Lord, I pray that today you'll anoint us to hear what your Spirit wants to say, not just what a person wants to say, but what the Spirit of God is saying today. So help me to speak what you want spoken. Help us to hear what you want heard. And we'll give you thanks for that. Everyone said amen. So Joshua makes a bold statement. He says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Matter of fact, that's kind of the title of this message this morning. And I want to ask you to say it out loud with me. On your mark, get set, go. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's say it again like we really mean it. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's make it one more time, a declarative statement from our heart. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said that. And the people who he was speaking to, in short, said this: "Us too. Me too, Joshua. We too. We will serve the Lord. As for our houses too, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua says, "Yippee." No. Joshua says, "Hold the phone." He says, "Wait just a minute. Don't just say that. Don't just say it because you want to say it. Don't just say it because it seems like the thing to say. Don't just say it because it feels good and that's what you want to say." Joshua says, "Make sure when you say this, you're saying it from a heart of conviction that will live out what you're declaring." And we this morning have declared what Joshua declared multiple times. But I want to challenge us. Let's not be satisfied for just declaring it today. I want us to leave this place today committed to walking out what Joshua spoke, that says, when we say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," let's leave this place today with the Holy Spirit empowered, not just to say that, but to live that. So how can we live that? How can we go beyond just saying it to living it? Well, Joshua tells us a few ways how we can go from just saying it to living it. And the first thing he says is, "Now serve the Lord with all faithfulness." If you're going to lead your family, especially, let me just back up, especially in times of crisis, and even more acutely in times of success. If we're going to lead our families in times of crisis and success, we must lead them to God with faithfulness. And Joshua starts the scripture with this saying. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. I want to point your attention to two words. Number one, the word now, and the word serve. Those are present tense verbs, right? It's right now, present tense vocabulary. Right now, serve the Lord. Right now, be faithful. Right now, give your hearts to the Lord. Right now, use him mightily. Or let him use you mightily. I remember when I was in high school, I used to exercise. I played sports 3 hours a day. Then I'd get out of school and I'd go work outdoors. And so I was constantly exercising. I was constantly running and walking and all this stuff for work and for sports. And I was in top tier shape as an 18-year-old. But for some reason, my cholesterol level doesn't remember that. For some reason, the scales in my bathroom don't understand that fact. That I was active. I was exercising. I wasn't watching what I was eating, but I did enough stuff to offset it. And for some reason, what I did in my past isn't affecting what I'm doing today. I don't understand that. But Joshua says this, now be faithful. Let me tell you something about faithfulness. Faithfulness is a present tense activity. It doesn't matter if you've been faithful for 20 years. What matters is, are you faithful today? It doesn't matter. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, you know, when I get married, I'm going to be faithful to my wife. When I get married, some of you are single folks, when I get married, I'm going to be faithful to my spouse. I'm going to be faithful. Not if you're not faithful today. Faithfulness in your future is actually often determined by the faithfulness today. If you're not faithfulness in your to your future spouse today, there's no way you're going to be faithful to her in the future. Are you being faithful? Joshua says, now serve the Lord with faithfulness. And here's the thing. When we forsake our faithfulness to God, the next step is we begin to be unfaithful to others. See, our faithfulness to our spouse, our faithfulness to our kids, our faithfulness to those that we care for, it's all connected to our faithfulness to God today. And so Joshua says, be faithful to God. And you may be saying, well, what does it mean to be faithful? Well, Joshua actually describes it. He says that faithfulness is this perfect picture. It's this marriage, if we will, between integrity and loyalty. And how many know what integrity is? I've discovered that integrity gets talked about a lot. Even in the political realm, you hear and see people talking about integrity and how important it is, but I don't see a whole lot of celebrated integrity. You know, integrity is like, it's a word of cohesiveness. It's a word of strength. It's actually the same word that's used to describe pillars and supports. Like, how many of you have ever driven across a bridge and you look down, or you look across to the next bridge and you see those huge pillars that are supporting that bridge? We got a picture of it. There you go. Those pillars are pillars of integrity. They're intact. They're holding things up. But most of us, we don't go across a bridge. If you're going across the bridge on the interstate, most of us don't break out in song every time we go across the bridge. Think, oh, praise the Lord, it held me up. Right? It's supposed to do that. Sometimes we don't celebrate integrity because we just think, well, you're supposed to do that. But in the same way, unfaithfulness is like a pillar that's compromised. And we'll show the next picture. There was a bridge just west of our house when I was growing up. And a lot of guys would talk about going fishing in that river. And while they'd be under the bridge fishing, when cars would drive over the top of it, pieces of concrete will fall to the bottom into the water. So you had to be careful. The integrity was missing, and no one knew it unless you were underneath the surface. In the same way, when I talk about faithfulness this morning, faithfulness is about who you and I are below the surface. And we can put on a good front. We're on the top. No one knows what we're facing. No one knows what we're going through, but you and I know. And that's why Joshua said, wait just a minute. Be faithful to God right now. look under the surface and say, Lord, deal with these parts of my life that are not straight. And some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, that's impossible. You don't know my lifestyle. And I've tried to be faithful before and I've failed. I've tried to do the right thing and I failed. I tried to honor God and I failed. Well, I've got good news for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 22 says this, that the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and guess what the last one is? Faithfulness. If you will come to the Lord this morning, God can instill His faithfulness into you. You have the potential to be faithful to your family. You have the potential to be faithful to your kids. You have the potential to be faithful when you understand that the Spirit of God can come alongside you and help you do what you can never do by yourself. Here's the second thing that Joshua tells the people of God. He says, secondly, he says, I want you to throw away those foreign gods that you have before the Euphrates. In other words, we've got to learn to lead our family with abandonment. Lead our families forward means leaving some things behind. Now, I've noticed something about some of you guys. Some of y'all are very trashy. But welcome, so am I. Matter of fact, I'm so trashy, the city of Cabot sends a dump truck to my house every Wednesday morning just to take my trash out. And every Wednesday, I have a full collection of garbage to give them. Matter of fact, some days when it's icy or Christmas falls in the middle of the week and they tell me they're not going to be there and I'm going to have to wait 8 days instead of seven, that's a crisis in my life. Because I'm usually just barely making it to day seven so I can pile it up. I'm severely trashy. And the only way my home can stay livable is if I am constantly abandoning stuff. And Joshua says, if you're going to serve the Lord, he said, we as a church, as we as individuals, we've got to become experts in abandoning things. Building a strong family. Listen to this morning. Building a strong family isn't just what we decide to include into our lives. It's also about what we decide to exclude from our lives. And Joshua says, don't be satisfied. We're just saying, I'm going to be faithful. But he says, you've got to start to abandon those things that are holding you back. Here's what Joshua knew. Joshua knew that the attachments in our past are like bungee cords to our future. And sometimes we say, you know, I'm going to honor God with my family. I'm going to honor God with my life. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to serve God. And we start running towards the Lord. We start running with our best efforts and our best activity and all we can do for God. And we get about 60 feet down the road. And all of a sudden we find something sucking us to the past. What is that? It's an abandonment. It's an attachment that we didn't abandon. It could be a relationship that you didn't completely close the door on. You know, when you and your spouse walked down the aisle 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you know, the moment you said, I do to her, you were saying, I don't to everyone else, right? We got to have that same abandonment when it comes to following the Lord. When we say yes to the Lord, we are automatically saying no to all these other things. And here's the deal. If there's something God is calling us to do, and we say, yeah, I'll do that, but I'm also going to hang on to the past, that past that we hang on to is an attachment. It's an open door that the enemy will exploit if you let him. We need to become experts at abandoning our past. We become experts at when the Holy Spirit speaks to us about laying something aside, we do it quickly. And we say, Lord, do that. Matter of fact, one of the prayers I've been praying this morning, one of the things I've been praying about this morning is, Lord, would you help us in this service? Would you just completely eradicate and cut off the attachments of this people in our past? That we would no longer be attached to the schemes and the devices of yesterday. But this morning, Holy Spirit, cut us free, cut us loose, and let us surrender our past to you, that we can have a life of freedom with you. Amen? The Lord wants to do that for your family. He wants to do that for you. You know, I like that song the worship team leads us in. It says, I will build my life upon your love, for it's a firm foundation. All of us in this room, we're building our life on something. The question is, are we building it on the Lord? Corinthians 13 says this, that anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hair, straw. But on judgment day, listen to this, the fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Paul was telling us, listen, we've got to examine what and how we're building our life. Here's point three this morning. We've got to lead. We're going to lead our families to the Lord. We're going to build strong families. We have to lead with decisiveness. Joshua said, choose today who you're going to serve. And let's be honest, that's hard, isn't it? Did any of y'all ever have conflict in your family over making choices? Some of you thinking, no, Pastor, I'm too spiritual for that. I wish I could plant a bug in your car when you leave church today. Because some of you are going to have three arguments before you get to the first stop sign trying to decide where you're going to eat lunch. Where you want to eat? I don't know. Where you want to eat? I don't know. You know, does anyone know a restaurant called Taco Tico? A few godly people in the house today. Yeah, there you go. All three of these people have connections to South Arkansas, I'm noticing. There's this taco joint. It was called Taco Tico. It was the best taco joint on the planet. The fact they've been out of business for 20 years means nothing. It's just the best place to eat. And as much as I loved it, Megan hated it. And so when we first got married, we would start having these discussions. Where do you want to eat lunch? Or where do you want to eat supper? And I would say, I don't know. And she said, I don't know. And so finally I got to the point. I said, okay, anytime you say, I don't know, that means we're going to Taco Tico. We, making a decision brought conflict to our life. It's set the same way. Until we make a decision that as for me and my house, no matter what it looks like, we're going to serve the Lord, there's going to be conflict. That's why Elijah said in 1 Kings 18, he said, choose today who you're going to serve. How long are you going to waver between two opinions? Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. He said, no one can serve two masters. You got to choose one. You're going to love one and despise the other. And every generation, which means my generation and your generation, and every one of our lives, we got to decide who is it we're going to serve. Because until we make that clear choice, we're always going to be susceptible to the enemy's attack. So we're going to lead with decisive decision to follow God. We're going to lead, let me give you the last two. We're going to lead number four. Megan, if you want to come. We're going to lead with a commitment to God's word. You know, the Bible reminds us that his word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And until we commit ourselves to the word of God, we're going to be walking in darkness. And here's what I want to remind you this morning is that the Word of God is different than any other book you've ever read. In John chapter 6, Jesus said this, the words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. This morning when I say we got to be committed to God's Word, I'm not telling you as families we got to be committed to God's Word just so you'll fit in some kind of box of do's and don'ts. And I'm not convinced that's why Joshua said, you got to stick to the word of God to fit in some kind of box of do's and don'ts. I believe the reason Joshua said it is the same reason Jesus said what he said. He says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. If we want life in our families, we got to commit ourselves to doing what produces life. Did you know that there's no promise where Jesus promises to honor my choices made apart from him? But he does promise to add life to my choices that are made in light of him, directed by him. So we got to lead our families with the word of God, and we got to lead our families with an awareness that we will give an account. In verse number 27, Joshua said to the people, he said, listen, you see these stones around here? He said, these stones are going to be a witness to what you and I are saying today. He's saying, these stones are going to testify. Long after we're gone, these stones are going to testify that you and I made a decision that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I read that these stones are going to testify. And I'm reminded in the New Testament, in Hebrews, you're going to discover that the Word of God says that while the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness, that they struck a rock. Moses struck a rock. He's supposed to speak to it, right? But instead of speaking to it, he struck it. And Hebrews reminds us, and that rock was what? Was Christ. In other words, Jesus was showing up and providing for them life in the wilderness. And I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't just provide for us water in the wilderness. He listens. The Bible says right now he's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And he is a witness for us this morning to hear the commitment that we make. When we say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 reminds us that one day all of us will stand before God and give an account for what we did, right or wrong. I want to stand before God knowing I did my best to point my family towards Jesus. Amen? I want to stand before God knowing I did my best to build a strong family. And Joshua said, don't just say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." He said, don't just say it, but live it. And you live it by being faithful. You live it by throwing away those things that would form attachments to you, that would keep you from doing that. You do it by realizing we will stand before God and give an account for what we did with our life. And we're going to do that by staying committed to God's word. So I want to ask you two questions as we get ready to close our service this morning. Here's the first one this morning. When it comes to building strong families, my first question is this: is your faith active? We cannot pass on what we do not possess. And so if we want to pass on a strong and an active faith, then we've got to possess a strong and an active faith. So this morning, I'm not asking you, did you give your heart to Jesus 20 years ago? Did you say a prayer 30 years ago? I'm not asking you those questions. I'm asking you, are you faithfully serving God today? Because it's your faithful service to God today that is speaking what is valuable to you, to your family, and your kids. It's your faithfulness today that's inviting the help of the Lord today. So when I ask you this morning, do you have an active faith in Christ? Are you actively living out your faith in the Lord? Whether you've came to Christ years ago, whether you never committed your life to Jesus at all, but you say, "Pastor, my faith in him is not active." Maybe once upon a time it was, but today it's not. Or maybe you never began, but you say, "Pastor, I need to embrace an active faith. I need to fresh and new let my faith be placed in Jesus today." If that's you, I want to know to pray for you. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Secondly today, church family, I want to ask you this. Do you know, not because a preacher said, but you just know in your heart, the Holy Spirit of God's been speaking to you, and there's some stuff in your heart, in your life, that you need to abandon. There are some things that are keeping you from building the family you want to build because you've hung on to it too long. Maybe it's an attitude you've hung on to way too long. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's just a habit that you've hung on to way too long. Maybe it's a thought process. You know the reason Joshua said to throw away those gods from beyond the river? Because he knew they represented things that they depended upon other than God. And he knew that in a crisis that they would revert back to what they used to depend on instead of depending on God. The only way we can build strong families is when we say, "Lord, I'm going to cut the ties off of everything else, and I'm deciding I'm going to depend on you." So you say, "Pastor, I've been unwilling to give up my dependence on something else, someone else, some other feeling, some right I feel I have to hang on to, something that went wrong in the past." Listen, give all that to the Lord today. You'll discover something that's better than your dependence on other things and other people and other disappointments, you'll discover that He will be faithful to you today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.